Heavenly Father, just thank you so much, Lord, just for the opportunity that we could just worship you through song. Father, I just pray that as we continue to worship you through the study of your word, that, Father, that lives would be changed, and that when we leave here, Lord, there would just be something different about us, that something about your word would just penetrate our hearts and, Lord, just cause just change to occur. Lord, we can get together, but that doesn't mean anything, Father. It's really when you come in and you just impact our lives. So, Father, we just invite your spirit here today to be with us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's do a real quick kind of recap. Dating. What are some things that we learned about dating? It's more than physical attraction, although that's part of it, right? We talked that. It's permissible. And it's okay. It's not bad. Like, you're not a heathen. I mean, that's okay. I mean, because we need, attraction works in friendships. It works in business deals. It just works. And we talk that it's not just physical looks. It's also about the sound of their voice, right? Yeah. Yes. Smell. I mean, like, girls, if a guy perpetually smells like rotten onions, he might be an outstanding young individual, but he just needs some hygiene and some clean habits going on. So those are some things to kind of think about. When we talked about courtship, I mean, what's the difference between dating and courtship? What are some major things? Courtship is more intimate. More intimate. Would you say it's a commitment?
Yes.
Is dating a commitment?
No.
I mean, can you, like, sit in a dating relationship and you're kind of, like, apart, you know, you're in class, you're like, I love you, you're the one for me, and you're flashing your gang love signs to each other. And you're making those things happen, and you're texting, and, like, you're the only one for me, because is that dating? Or would you say that's now really courtship? I mean, technically that's courtship at that time, right? So dating, are you, yeah, it's creepy, especially if it's one of your friends. I don't know.
Like the gang side.
The gang side. I love you from the east side. But, you know, seriously, when we looked at this, you know, dating is really no strings attached. And I think we, in our culture, we have all kind of attached strings to relationships that we've considered dating, but they should never have been. We talked about dating being like, you know, hanging out with each other in mixed company with friends in public places. We talked about boundaries, right? Boundaries. Those are important as well. Courtship is when you're basically saying, I think you're the one, and the other person's like, I think I'm the one, and you're the one. It just works out. The son or the, you know, I guess, well, the boy here, the man, young man, will go to the father, the mother, and just, you know, say, hey, dad. That's the wrong way to go. Dad of the girl I like. I don't want to go under the bar and do the limbo. I want to go over the top of the bar, right? Especially if you're coming to my house. If you come to my house, that's weird. I'll have you arrested. But if you've got the bar there, and we talked about, you know, dads, you know, as dads, and when you have daughters, it's like you want to set this bar so high. And girls, if your parents are like, no, you can't date that person, because it's because your parents have this bar set so high, they love you, they care about you, they don't want you to get hurt, especially when Mr. Wrong comes along. And so you've got this bar, and so if this is you, it's like, you know, I'm really interested in your daughter. I've been praying through this. Don't just throw the spiritual element in there. You got to back it up. You know, actually pray through it first and make sure that you feel called to do this, because it's a commitment. Because basically in courtship, you're saying, hey, I think this is going to work. This is going to be you and I, and I'm going to commit, and it's either going to end in an engagement, which leads to marriage, or marriage, as we're going to talk about later. Yes, marriage. It's going to lead in marriage, or it's going to end in what? A happy see you later. No. Divorce isn't even going to be in the vocabulary here, okay, guys? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're not going to talk divorce, because if you do this right, if you do this according to God's plan, following these 12, or actually 7 verses we're going to look at tonight, I think you'll see that God has a plan, and we know everything that he has to say about marriage because it's in his word. We don't have to go to Barnes & Noble and read the 20 books. Side note, I'm sorry. Just made me think of a side note. It's interesting, when women, you know, are expecting, they start Googling names, right? Names. Well, I want it to rhyme with this and that, you know. Like, we had this thing in our house where it had to have, like, an L-Y first name, like Billy, Kelly, that E kind of first name. The middle initial, or I guess middle name, had to begin with the J. So I came up with what I thought was the most profound name ever. I thought of a Mexican surfer named Gnarly Juan. I thought, dude, like, the Gnarly Juan. I was like, that's pretty cool, right? And Kelly's like, you're off the naming duties. Anyway, back over to marriage again. So, you know, when we start thinking about courtship, we start thinking about really, you know, what it is. I mean, it's a commitment. It's a saying, hey, we're going to be together. I'm in this, and my only out is we're getting married or we decide this doesn't work, we dissolve this. And then when we talked about courtship, it's really a time of commitment. It's a time of seeing increased communication, right? Because you should be attracted to the person's voice. That's a good start. But they should be able to hold a conversation. They should want to listen. Guys, you should want to listen. And, you know, when the lady is talking, not think about how you're going to get to the next level and whatever game you're playing or whatever it is that's on your mind. Thinking about guitars or whatever it is. You shouldn't be thinking about how to go home so you can play your roommate. You know, if you're in college or, you know, maybe you're out of college and you got a roommate just kind of splitting rent, play your roommate in like some sort of NCAA football game on Xbox. I mean, you shouldn't be doing those things. And so, you know, really that's a time of building relationships. And we talked about building a fire. Anyone can throw gasoline on a fire and make it really pretty, right? Then what happens? It dies down pretty quick, right? And so really to build the fire of love. Fire of love. You got to have coals, respect, you know, communication. All these different things are built in there because these embers stay warm. They stay hot. You can stoke the fire, and when it goes up, and you know, you can get it going again. It's not just like a real big kind of forest fire and bang, you're done. The worst thing to do is that when you give like a middle school boy like $10 to go buy fireworks, they just buy like the loudest thing and that's it, right? He goes, boom, that's it. You're like, was that worth it? That was cool. Can I do it again? It's like, you know, you want something long lasting. High school guys like bonfires. It's still fire, but it lasts longer, right? So you kind of get the idea. You want to be a little bit longer. Well, tonight, we have the pleasure, actually, of taking a peek at 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter, if you look at the entire epistle here, Peter wrote this book. Really, his audience was going through immense persecution. There was a lot of suffering going on. This was happening at the hands of Nero, and we've kind of talked a little bit about that when we're going through 1 John. But if you look, chapter 3, would you say that's in the middle here? We got 5 chapters, so 3 is pretty much right in the middle. Pretty much in the middle. I would agree with that statement. Right in the middle of all this suffering, Peter turns to the subject of marriage, which I guess is still suffering for some, right? I think it's kind of funny because he's like, hey, in the midst of this letter on suffering, we come to this chapter 3, and he says, hey, all these things are going on, but let's talk about marriage. That still kind of ties in there for some. And so what we first want to recognize is that marriage can really be heaven on earth, so to speak, if you've done it God's way and you're with the right person and you've done things according to God's plan here, or it can be really hell on earth. And if you had a family like mine, they went through a divorce, and so there were some things that weren't pretty about that. You know, I was a freshman when it happened, freshman in high school during football, and I'm thinking out of all the times, really, like how am I going to get a ride, you know, whatever. Couldn't ride my bicycle because school was like 20 miles away. But it can be heaven or hell. It just depends. And in this age, how many of you have smartphones or a phone that can access the interweb? You like that? Interweb? Okay. Interweb. Tell you. Anyway. So it's information age. So right now we're the information age. So you have access to all kinds of information. It may not all be right. I mean, right? It may not be correct. But you can access stuff. You can search whatever. You can Google it. You can find information. So in this time where we can have information on marriages, finances, and how to raise a family, I find it interesting when you go to the CDC, which is obviously Center of Disease Control and Prevention, they have marriage statistics on there. And really in 2009, it's kind of weird. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. I was looking for a government website that kind of had, you know, some statistics to kind of back up what we were talking about. And what you find is that really in 2009, we kind of turned a corner. And actually this year we turned a corner. I'm going to share a little bit about that. But starting this year, or actually in 2009, we exceeded, you know, 50% divorce rate, like 53, 54% divorce rate. So you figure it out, you know, 53 out of 100 people are going to get divorced, they get married. Is that crazy? Is that sad, isn't it? You think about everything that goes into it. I mean, all the emotional baggage, the fallout that takes years really to kind of clear out. And 53, 54% of people go through divorce once they're married. The statistics don't really get better when you remarry. Because your second marriage, it jumps up to about 60 to 67% of all second marriages fail. And on up to 73% if you marry a third time. I guess if you can't figure it out, you know, by then you're like, I don't like that box of cereal. I'm just going to go get another one. It's kind of like that mentality. And so really what I really want us to think about is that divorce really isn't in God's God's word here. It's not what he has for us. And if we simply do what we already know and not try to go find something new to do, if that makes sense, don't go to the bookstore. Don't ask your friends. Simply do what God's word says. I think we'll be blessed. And so we know that divorce affects children. How many of you come from divorced families? Anyone? Just a couple of us? All right. That's cool. Not cool, but, you know, we're on the same team here. But it impacts graduation rates. It impacts the capacity to learn. Now, some of these I didn't really get, but this is what the statistics point to. The ability to hold a job, emotional abuse, mental health problems. Basically, you know, the parents are kind of passing that baton on to their children. Hey, we're not going to figure our problem out, and so we're going to pass it along to you. And so really, it destroys the family core with what, you know, really God's plan for marriage. And so again, you know, what is this plan for marriage? And we're going to jump into the scripture here just in a moment, but it's really not knowing what to do, but just really doing what we already know. And you're going to hear me say that over and over again. Again, it's not knowing what to do. It's simply doing what we already know. Let's take a look at verses 1 and 2 in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Now, let me just state this. Anytime you kind of go over these verses, people can get all up in arms, you know, riots can happen, especially up front because women might take this wrong. But let's go through this verse by verse. Let's take a look at it and really see what it has to say. And because you'll find that really the sucker punch comes at the end with the guys. And so just hang in there with me. If you have questions, just ask somebody else. Don't ask me. Just kidding. So let's take a look at it. It says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." Verse 2, "as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior." Here's the deal. You can look through scripture, and typically when a man gets saved, when the male figure in the family, when the father, the dad, the husband gets saved, he ends up bringing his entire family to church. We see this in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius. When you see a woman get saved, I mean, I see a lot of single moms here, and you ask, you know, and sometimes, hey, you know, where's the family? Oh, well, my husband, he doesn't go to church. Is that kind of like, you know, you think about that, like, well, what do you mean he doesn't go to church? Well, let's take a sidestep into the mind of a guy, an unsaved guy. An unsaved guy, and this is why it's so important, ladies, that you know, at this point, have marriage, you've got to make sure you have someone who is, you know, a Christian, who is solid and can be a leader, because this is what you don't want to have happen. You can get a guy who doesn't know the Lord, and suddenly, if you're in a marriage and now the woman is like, you know, I've given my life to Christ, the guy sees that as, oh, there's another man in your life. Who is that man? Well, he's a carpenter. His name is Jesus. That's the mind of a guy. As weird as that may sound, it's just kind of the way we think. And so we can't marry someone with the premise, the basis of changing them. We shouldn't be courting someone with the idea that we can change them. We shouldn't be dating someone with what? The idea that we can change them. Because guess what? You're not going to. And we took a look at that. Now this word submissive, I want to bring your attention to, it's a voluntary attitude. It's a voluntary attitude. You don't have to. You can't force will. You can't force someone to change or to be a certain way. But it's a voluntary attitude, giving really in a respectful, giving in. So it's in a respectful manner. Peter says we are to be like Sarah later on in verse 6. And we'll cover that here momentarily. The command doesn't really require a woman to be subordinate to men in general, but to their husbands and really in the function and order of the home. Okay, so hear me out. Don't go beat every guy up, and you know, don't look at this as something that's wrong, because when we turn it around and look at what God has for the men, and he really talks to us and how we're supposed to treat a lady and really holds us to a standard that Jesus himself kept, I mean, you'll see how it all kind of evens out a little bit later on. And so we have to consider that. And so why be submissive? Why should a woman, he's like, why should I be submissive? And think of yourself now, you know, kind of play it ahead. Think, okay, I'm in a marriage, and let's say it gets rocky. Why should I be submissive to a husband? Well, so that our behavior and actions, and notice in the scriptures, it says not words, because guys don't respond to that usually. It's kind of a, you know, guys, we see that as a nagging thing. And, you know, my wife, she can say things. There's times we have serious conversations and things that we need to talk about. But there's other things, too, that guys, because of the way we're wired, it's a loving through the behavior. And that's what wins husbands over. And in other words, what that is that you're submitting to what God has called you to do in the scripture as a woman, married. And then through that, God is going to use that and really orchestrate really what needs to happen in the marriage. If you find yourself in that kind of position. It says, so behavior. Now, wives are be submissive even if their husbands are unbelievers. Well, should you be married to someone who's an unbeliever? No, you shouldn't even be here. You shouldn't have to be thinking about this. But if you are, if for some strange reason you find yourself in this position, and now you are in a relationship with a man and married to someone who isn't a believer, your actions and behavior carry a lot more weight than words. I'll repeat that. Your actions and behavior will always carry more weight than your words. Because again, husbands see it as Jesus is that other guy. He's the carpenter that you have this relationship with. And guys just start closing off, especially if they're not saved. They don't understand Jesus. They don't get it. And so begin to just shut down, so to speak. So the question is, are you to submit if it includes sinning? And I'm talking about abuse. I mean, you name it. The answer is no. That's not what God is asking. That's not what the word is saying. That you're to stay in an abusive relationship. You know, there's things that you can do, steps you can take. So verses 1 and 2 really tell us that wives are to be at their husband's side. You know, side by side, behavior and actions, not in their face. Because again, as we talked about a moment ago, guys don't respond to that. It will only escalate and make things worse if you find yourself in this situation. Verses 3 and 4, it says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. And guys, circle that if you're a male. With the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And so that word merely means without a companion, should not be without a companion. And so just it's not all about the looks, as we've talked about, you know, really with dating, and you know, that same thing applies to courtship and the same thing applies to marriage. Guess what? We're gonna get old, right? Gravity takes over, right? Gravity's gonna take over, and things are gonna change. You know, guys stop cleaning their toenails. Women stop painting their toenails. I mean, everything just begins to change. And so we have to know, and in God's word, it says it's not really the external braiding of the hair, the wearing of gold jewelry. It's not about that stuff. But what does it say in verse 4? But let it be what, ladies? The hidden person of the heart. It's your heart that should be the most, you know, out in front thing that a guy sees. And so when it comes time, when you're thinking marriage, and when you're in that courting relationship and you're moving towards marriage, you've got to pretty much wear your heart out there. That's what the guy needs to see. And guys, that's what you should be attracted to. That's what, and if you're in a courting relationship, gentlemen, and you're like, well, I just like the way, she's just hot, you know. I don't know, there's some things I like to change about her, you know, but, you know, it'll be fine. We talked about last week, well, I'll just have kids, that'll make it better, right? Oh, kids made it worse. We'll just get a house. That'll make it better. Oh, that just made it worse. We'll get a bigger house. And then you're like, oh my goodness, you have all these problems going on. Guys, it's about the hidden person of the heart. And so looking nice is, it's great. It's nice. But in addition, you know, a woman of God should possess an inner beauty. And women, this is really before you're even at this relationship, before you're even courting, when you're kind of in that dating relationship, this is when you've got kind of your sisters around you in Christ, and you're able to build this person up, this inner beauty, so to speak, this confidence, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what you're supposed to do in Christ. Not saying that God can't bring someone along you and even change some plans, but being sure with knowing who you are. We talked about that last week with that H relationship, standing firm with God at the top. And when he brings someone next to you, reaching out and grabbing that arm to make that H. That's what type of relationship we're talking about. And so inner beauty is unfading. You know, when Kelly and I went on our first date after we got back from, it was our first date. Our first date when we got back from the Dominican Republic, we went to this little seafood restaurant, sat outside, And I was a guy, and I'm thinking, this will be good. I'm going to order the dessert platter. You know, they like bring like 25 different desserts or whatever. And it was cool. We just hung out for a couple of hours. I can't tell you what she was wearing. She was wearing clothes. I mean, it was a public place or whatever. But, I mean, I can't tell you. I have no idea. I don't recall. I remember I thought, yes, she's attractive. Yes, that's why I'm here, and this is, you know, that's good. But really, I started to know her. I mean, that whole week we were in Dominican Republic, and I knew her before then. But now, you know, God kind of changed something and put a desire in my heart to really get to know her. And so I was like all ears and just kind of listening for everything that she was saying. I learned about her family. I learned about, you know, where she grew up. And all those things were suddenly important to me. And so, guys, that's what we're talking about. We should be attracted to that inner beauty, that person who is hidden from the outside. And, girls, that's what guys should be attracted to. If they're not interested in your family, your life story, your dog or your cat, if you happen to have one, then chances are they're just not interested in you. And you shouldn't be dating. You shouldn't be courting. And so these are things that you know, again, you start looking at God's word. And so that inner beauty lasts forever. It stands the test of time. It's what the husband sees when his eyes go. Have you ever thought about that? Like when you're older and they're like, dude, you're like legally blind. You can't see past 2 feet, you know, and maybe your eyesight goes. What are you going to remember? You know, you always hear your wife's voice. If you're, you know, these are things I think about. I know it sounds kind of morbid or whatever, but I think about this sometimes, you know, like, well, you know, what is my wife's, you know, I want to be attracted to who my wife is on the inside. She's always my bride. She's my beautiful bride. And, you know, I love that. And yes, I think she's smoking hot, but there's that inner beauty that really passes all that up. Who she is, and, you know, we play off each other so well because we know each other's personality, and that's really where it should be. We talked about that hidden person of the heart. Peter says that the hidden person of the heart is precious to whom? Really, God. It says it's precious in the sight of God. That's what he says in the scripture there. Let me give you an example. And you guys may have something like this, but when I was a junior, I transferred schools, and I was just trying to do, you know, trying to meet people. I was playing football and all that, and they had a Miss Earth pageant, okay? You kind of know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah, they suckered me into doing this. And let me just tell you something. I was probably 230 pounds, you know, just big, gnarly, smelly high school guy, whatever. And there was... You couldn't buy enough stuff to put on me to make me attractive, okay? It's just, we'll just be honest. I mean,